This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello everyone and welcome to Padawan Limited, a Star Wars Limited trading card game podcast. If you're new to the podcast, my name is Gil. I am your weekly host, joined by the extravagant Corey and Rob.
Extravagant?
I don't know if that's right. How you guys doing?
Heyo.
I hope everyone enjoyed the bonus episode we had on Tuesday. That was actually recorded the week before, like back to back. For the previous session, Dinosaur Gaming is a great channel. The guy is really cool, and it was awesome to have him on to do a special community spotlight episode. So, hope you all learned something. I know I did. Then also, Corey, thank you for hooking that up. I love cross collaboration.
Thanks to Dinosaur.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like we may be doing some more stuff with him in the future too. So
I hope so.
Keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, I hope so. I love having guests appear.
Wild dinosaurs appeared.
So it's just fun. Okay.
Wrong game.
Some logistical stuff. We are actually 99 people at our Discord. I was surprised. I'm actually like looking at that number. I was like, oh wow, we almost hit 100. Ooh. That's pretty cool. Mm. And I think it's relatively active. Cool. We had a spirited discussion today about which will soon be our main topic. But I do like that everyone, even though they have an opinion, is respectful. Right, everyone, like the vibes are really good, and hopefully it continues. I will stomp that out if people become rude, but you know, everyone's actually been really, really, really chill.
I hope we cultivate that as much as possible. It's like, you know, we want to be an uplifting community and not necessarily a drag down one.
Yeah, exactly. And the what else is there? We had a special giveaway for some of our Patreon followers, so. If you're Patreon, you know what we did. You know what I did for y'all. So appreciate that. And some other logistics. So there were two other raffles. We're doing this all month. So for 4 weeks straight, we're going to have something. And then in 3 weeks, we'll do the week one winner, week two winner, week three winner, week four winner of like whatever we give away. So as a reminder, episode 59, there was a generous donation from Tetra. From the Bothan Network for a Poe Dameron showcase. Check out that episode and the links in there to register or for your entry. For week two, we're going to give away a VIP pin for the Galactic Championships. It's the black one with the little gold tag on the bottom. It's still in its original wrapper, so that's pretty cool, I think. So check out episode 60. For this episode, I think one of the giveaway I want to have, or there's actually be two giveaways because I feel bad. So, but I feel bad. What I mean is that, like, I have an extra cunning aspect pin, but it is not in its original plastic. So, I don't, you know, like, I like to give stuff fresh, and the fact that it's not in its original plastic, like, kind of hurts me in terms of giveaway because I feel like it's used. But it's a free aspect pin that you would probably not get anywhere else. So there's going to be this. Cunning aspect pin, the form will be in place, as well as a metal shield token from the Galactic Championships. Nice. This is in this original plastic. Yeah. So we'll give these two things away separately so more people can win. And then also, if you have been following us for months, you will know that at every raffle entry, especially a lot of the OGs, they were given the opportunity to have more entries into the 500 YouTube subscriber giveaway, and that is going to be a 2024 convention exclusive pack with all the Force Dark Force units. Each of the entries right now for these recent giveaways gives 5 entries to that 500 subscriber giveaway. So the more you listen, the more you ideally, I hope you get, you feel rewarded in that sense, but you get more chances. It's free stuff. I mean, it is what It is what it is. Please don't complain. and now we're giving everyone, and for each of these giveaways, it's a month like to really like try to participate, because I know not everyone can keep up week to week, especially since we got our episodes up to 1 hour long nowadays. So it's pretty beefy content. And that's it. So hopefully that whoever, you know, thank you for listening. Again, always, please like, subscribe, tell your friends. But most importantly, just enjoy the content. If there's anything you'd want to hear, please feel free to send me an email at gil@padawanlimited.com, or join Discord and submit something as a topic. We try to accommodate everyone's ideas because everyone has great ideas. There's just not enough time in the day to record. So let's move on to the collection segment. Corey.
Yeah, I teased it off in the Discord here. If you're on the Discord, again, join.
Or he's the luckiest man alive.
I pulled a Kylo showcase, Kylo 5. We're not done yet. Blue Kylo that's been all the rage with the Tarkin Town, and even ECL and Data Vault versions have been pretty popular. So. Yeah, it's been pretty strong in the meta, which may come up in future here. But I did have one more other thing I did get, because I did trade for a showcase.
Hold on, before you get to the trade, before you get to the trade, I want to say, because we have an inside joke, I guess, in our Discord, that Kylo, this new Kylo, has the most
blue steel,
most kissable lips showcase.
Yep.
So it's gonna be, if you had the chance, just zoom in on that video, like, or like that image whenever you get a chance, or your computer or phone or whatever. Most kissable lips showcase. Anyway, sorry, you traded for a showcase.
I did. I traded a bunch of prestige tier twos, like Churrit, Grand Inquisitor. I think there was 5 total that I traded away. And I got myself a Qui-Gon
showcase.
He is a good looking one.
Yeah.
Wait, you have a Qui-Gon too that you traded for?
Oh, hey.
Rob saw this happen, I think, real time. Not to take away your thunder, but that's just funny that I didn't know you do that. You did that. I traded for 2 showcases this past Tuesday. I traded a Maul GC Black Pack Maul. So that's like Darth Maul with the alternate art one. That's expensive pull.
Cool looking card.
And I got, so you got the Kylo Ren, which I love. And then I got one of the other leaders that's been rising, and that's Han Solo. Never Tell Me the Odds.
Oh,
so
nice.
I got the pilot one.
The JTL.
Jump to light speed for anyone who's new to the game. Mm. And then the Qui-Gon showcase. So I got 2 showcases as well, but for trades.
That's awesome.
Oh, I love it. But Rob got one too, right?
Yeah, well, Sam did, but yes. So my significant other has been slow rolling her second carbonite pack, carbonite box, and so she opened the pack the other night and
got in a
Ms.
bar.
Avar Christ is showing up.
So
little Zelda action looks like.
Yeah, Avar Christ in the books. Have you guys read the new stuff? Like the new, like,
I have not,
High Republic stuff?
Not too much of the new stuff, but...
Avar...
She's kind of a badass,
she's
though, right?
She's powerful as heck. I mean, like, her... I'm not going to spoil it, but, like, read the books. Like, she's pretty powerful, like, as a Jedi. Just, like, in general, but, like historically, super powerful. It's pretty intense. I'm not going to say as powerful as, like, Prime Luke, who, like... defeated like the Mortis God Mom, but like she's pretty powerful in her era. But that's a beautiful showcase. Yep. Well, congratulations to Sam.
It is, and if you can't really see it, like the starlight behind her, like they come through in the foil and it sparkles. Yeah, you can kind of catch it over by her shoulder right now. It looks really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a cool looking one. Yeah, I think they did a great job with all the showcases this go round.
Yeah, for the most part, I would agree with that. I still think Talzin looks a little garbage, but
okay. Controversial take. Let us know what you think in the comments.
Full of them.
Let us know what you think in the comments, because I love her showcase.
I want to love her showcase, but her face just kills me.
I mean,
she's so derpy.
I don't know, but
it's awesome.
I don't know about that. I think it's an appropriate amount of like freaky,
crazy,
and crazy. Yeah.
Derp.
No.
Lots of derp.
Let's stop saying derp. Okay. I think I don't know. That's interesting. I think the you know what? You're right though. It's in terms of it's polarizing. I know some people who love it. I know some people who hate it. So there's like no one who's like, it's okay.
You know, it does seem like that. It's either you love it or you hate it.
Yeah, I thought the concept for it was cool. You know, she's surrounded by like all the force mist from Dathomir, and like it's coming out of the cauldron, and you know she's lit from underneath with the green glow. But it just didn't do it for me. Just looks like I said, just doesn't look.
I would trade for it if I could. I think.
She's strong, so probably, I'd play it. But
speaking of which, I feel like this is the first set that I've actually executed trades for showcases. Well, that's a lie. I did a trade with you, Corey, once for the Kylo Ren, which is ironic. For two showcases.
But
like aside from that, like people really hold their showcases like close to the chest.
I will say that moment you pulled it was hilarious because I was playing Kylo. I think that
so
night.
Was I. We were playing you each were, other. Yeah.
And then you get the win per pack or whatever. And I think you got a pity. It was a pity pack or something, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, it was a pity.
Probably.
You got one pack, and like we all open our packs, whatever. And then you got it, and I was like, man, if you pull a Kylo showcase, I'm gonna like flip this table. And then you go ahead and do it, and it was awesome. Well, it was really cool.
It wasn't
moment.
Only a Kylo showcase, but you also pulled a silencer. That was
the slap in the face afterwards. Just like, all right, not only a Kylo, and then but honestly, like I'm happy you have it. It's in the family still, and I love Hera. Like I would do anything for her.
Yeah. Yeah, the trade was Kylo for Hera and Aphra.
Aphra. So, but this is how I've been actually growing my. And maybe we could talk about this for a second. This is how I've been pretty much growing my showcase collection. Some showcases I've bought. Like if I can get a good deal, I'm buying it. Right. By good deal, I mean like 85% of TCG value. Like if I can pull that off, 20% off, that's great. I assume they're going to go down anyway. But like I don't want to wait, especially for set one stuff because that's not really going to be around anymore. But for all the future showcases, because of the carbonite boxes, as in like sets 4 and 5, because of the carbonite, the values are like going down. And so if I get like, for whatever reason, I've been getting like the chase showcases each time. I got Darth Vader for set 4, Darth Vader and Asajj. Yep. But the Darth Vader I traded for two showcases. And then the Maul, I traded for two showcases. Like, you know, these pulls are like just been good for me. So I just love trading. I want all the showcases one day. Unfortunately, like that's just a very large sum, but that'd be so cool to have it like on the wall.
Yeah. I do think you're hitting on it though, Gil, because of the carbonites, the showcases are more common. So now particularly for sets 4 and 5, so people are more willing to part with them because they're pulling more of them, frankly.
Yeah.
Like when you pulled one in set 1 or 2, you really only you got one per case, basically, or one per every other case, right?
Yeah, every like two cases.
Every two cases. So, like if you pulled one, it was super rare. Now it's like carbonites. Like it's not that carbonites are bad in that regard, but they are devaluing the market in regards to that. But I think that's a good thing because I like seeing more of like the showcases out in the wild. Like it was cool. It's like, oh man, you got that one, but it's like you either had to like get lucky and pull it, or you're paying an arm and a leg for it. And now you can kind of get them for relatively inexpensive.
I think I like that. And honestly, like people like that's your showcase. You have it, you play with it. Like that's going to be in like a hard case. And you know what makes it interesting? I think it also what it does in like a different way is that it makes the hyperspace foils like the rare cards, the chase cards to get. You know what I mean? Like hyperspace foil
just unfoiled hyperspaces, but
I know some people like do like they foil it out like because that's super rare, like the actual like hyperspace foil of a legendary is like really freaking hard to get, like a Luke, you know, or Force Lightning. Those like are pretty they're pretty penny. I think some of them are actually more than some showcases, which is pretty interesting.
I think like one of the rarest things to get is like hyperspace foil base. Like, especially set one. Like, I hardly see any hyperspace foil bases.
Oh my god.
I actually got a hyperspace foil Virgin's Temple in this set, and I got a hyperspace foil Data Vault. And I think I also got a Colossus. So like I was actually happy about that.
But you had to pay for the Carbonite box, right? Like you didn't get that like a pack pull. Okay. I was like, no. You got this from regular packs, three of them? That's a great hit rate, man. You should go to Vegas, go back to Vegas and win some stuff.
and be back gambling.
But
I will say what I've heard though about the Carbonite packs, and I think Jim Cartwright, he did an interview with the Unplayable podcast at Galactics.
Yeah.
And they did like, oh, we're going to put this out in the future. So we're going to talk about some things that aren't necessarily out there yet. And one of the things he said is they are looking at Carbonites and those will be changing in the future.
He is probably. Ooh.
But yeah, you can't say what and how, but
yeah,
just like they're listening to feedback. And so I can understand the first two sets were kind of, you know, in stone-ish, you know, they had a plan and they got to execute on it. But once that first set came out, that third set potentially and hopefully they've been able to pivot and maybe learn a little bit about what people are looking for, want, and apply some of the lessons.
Maybe they increase the legendary pull rate, right, for this first set 4 to 5. Mm. So maybe they do something again or like more rares and stuff because
maybe even different treatments is what I'm looking for. I want some more variety. You know, like we have are hyperspace. And we have regular, and then we have foil versions of those, and then you have the prestiges, right?
If
I would love to see some even more alternate art, like Galactics. You had the alternate art, and then with the OP packs, you have the alternate art there. I'd love to see some more of that kind of stuff pop up in a Carbonite pack, where that's even, you know, you always get a prestige card, but maybe you get this other card.
Yeah, that would be.
I'd just love to see less regular foils, frankly.
Yeah, I don't think anyone likes the regular foils. People use those as coasters, throw them out. I don't know, all types of stuff.
Not like, really.
So, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. All right, so I got anything else? Any other card updates? But before move on,
not acquisition wise, but yeah, I'm just. It's always interesting to see what's been like moving in the market as far as like with these planetary qualifiers popping off and going into the meta. So real briefly, what's interesting is the last week the biggest jump for a non-hyperspace card has been Black One. It went up 152% in value.
That's because of that Sabine Tarkentown deck, probably.
It's possible because that did win, right? That one up,
yeah, one PQ. Interesting. We'll see. I mean, it's a decent card. 2/3. You could throw like a BB1 or like a R2 for zero R2, on it, you know, and it becomes a 4/3, which is pretty good.
That's it.
Yeah, I know.
And then Sabine's Masterpiece is the second one that's non-hyperspace, which was a 58% jump. So
yeah, because that there was. So let's go on to this. Let's go on to the meta segment real quick, because I think that's a lot of those cards are a lot of those prices are driven by success that's occurring in the first couple weeks of actual PQ stuff. And real quickly, for like Rob, before you go into, I think one of the reasons that Sabine's Masterpiece is going up in value is because Sabine ECL won a PQ like last week, right? I'm just saying. Two Sabines from two different colors. Go ahead, Rob. Let's talk about.
You're not wrong because as with all these, you know, we saw it in the previous sets. As you know, certain decks win PQs and win multiple PQs. Even singular winners. A lot of times, people are going to jump on the band. Not necessarily jump on the bandwagon. I don't want to call it exactly that, but they're going to see like, oh, this is a style of deck that I like to play. And it won a PQ, so let's take that list and let's run with it. And then if they don't have the cards, they're going to go out and try and buy them. So things like Black One, Sabine's Masterpiece. I'm a little bit surprised that it jumped that much, but it's a good card. Like I mean, it's one of the like best early ECL targets into like a Vader deck, a Vader 4 deck, or any other kind of wide space aggro in the early game, so that doesn't shock me entirely. It's just it's just that the jump happened now as opposed to like earlier. But yeah, it's been an interesting post-Galactics meta. Right now we also had the Fantasy Flight post-galactic update today, and they were talking about the statistics that they were seeing in addition to some of the stuff that we've been seeing from the PQ. And so there was a lot of, I know Gil doesn't want to hear about Force Throw, but there's some talk about Force Throw again. But it was interesting because there was a lot of, we'll say, consternation prior to Galactics that it was going to dominate the Galactics, and it was going to be nothing but Force Throw everywhere. And there were quite a few Force Throw decks, and the top, admittedly, the top two decks were Force Throw decks. But with that being said, they saw, I think they said it was 51, I think it was like 51% of the total decks run ran Force Throw, so a little bit over 50%. But there was a very wide variety of actual leaders and base combinations that they weren't expecting. The other thing that was, I think, has kind of tempered them on it was the deck that everyone sort of anticipated to kind of take it by storm, which was the Hantu Blue Force, kind of got drummed out of the meta, partially because of the Kylo 2 Tarkin Town meta call. But since the PQs, this was the other interesting stat they've seen. Since the Galactics, rather, this is the interesting stat to me, was that they've seen the percentage of Force Throw decks steadily decreasing over the last 2 weeks at both Gen Con and then the first couple of PQs there. So it's there. You're still going to have to deal with it. You're still going to see it. It's still, Quinlan Tarkin Town is still good. Han 2 Blue with Force Throw, still good. But, there are counters that are starting to rise into the meta. One of the things, and interestingly, again, you said, as you mentioned, Sabine ECL won a PQ. There was a Sabine Tarkin Town, which won a PQ. And then I think you're seeing a little bit of a rise of Boba Data Vault now. And they actually mentioned that as well, that Boba Data Vault won two PQs over the last 2 weeks. And it's been one of the more highly represented decks out there. So you're seeing those three decks in particular that aren't even running force. So they're not running Force Throw, and they're seeing success. The one other interesting stat that they did say is that currently they're seeing aggression being very highly represented in the meta across the board. I think that's part and parcel because of Force Throw, but then also because a lot of the answers to some of these decks are just in red. There's a lot of upgrade removal within red, so there's been a lot of pairing of that. And then you have some very strong cards, like in Heroic, like Ki Adi Mundi, that are kind of driving that as well, I think.
Okay. I didn't know that Boba Data Vault won two PQs this past week.
Yeah, they said it in the
update today. That's also a very interesting statistic that they're actually seeing a steady decrease of use of Force Throw. So that's good. And at the end of the day, everyone, at least for the last couple sets, not everyone, that's a generalization, should ever do that, but a lot of people were talking about how the devs loved Cunning, and Cunning was like the thing to be.
Cunning is the least represented currently, actually.
Yeah, and now it's red. I mean, maybe it's the sets and how they're designed that like things are moving around. Like,
No, and see, that's the thing that I think is very interesting. It's like for a while, as you mentioned, Cunning was very strong. In fact, like just about every deck was running Cunning, and part of that was based on it was on the back of like Triple Dark Raid and Gango being strong, and then you had a bunch of other like strong mechanics that are in there. And it's not to say that Yellow has gotten any less of those mechanics or is any less strong in that regard, but as you're mentioning, because of set design and the way that it's set up, certain things are coming into, I don't want to call it coming into vogue, but they're becoming popular because that's where the answers are. So red has the answers right now, and so that's where you're seeing a lot of the meta shift to. To be fair, I'm going back to being a shameless FET player, and I'm back on Boba Data Vault, and it's pretty good, guys. Gil got to see it firsthand yesterday. It's still strong. It's still really good. And particularly the version that that I'm running right now, which is the one with the invisible hand and all the droids. Invisible hand on six is just it's really good, because seasoned players against like the Boba data vault deck are trying to remove things for you to flip Boba onto. They don't want you to have a unit or anything to be able to use Boba on. And what invisible hand lets you do is you play it and then you search the top eight for a two cost droid, and there's something like 12 two cost droids in that. Well it's, you can draw any droid, but you get to play a two cost droid for free, and there's something like 12 two cost droids in the deck that are free, and all of them have an impactful method of being played to the board. So you've got HK, which will ping damage if you kill something. It's a 2/4 body, so it's really good. You've got the DRK probe droid, which kills non-unique upgrades. You've got the Vanguard TIE bomber, which does 2 damage base if you have another separatist, and shocker, you do, because you played Invisible Hand.
Is this deck that you're talking about one of the winners?
This is one of the winners, I believe.
A droid manufacturer. I'm still kidding.
Well, it's not droid manufacturer.
I know, what I'm saying is that it's just a bunch of droids. Okay, that's a unique spin on the Boba Data Vault deck, because
that won Portland is not on Invisible Hand.
Yeah, but I think the other one was, I remember correctly.
The one in Southampton, England, that one is on Invisible.
Yeah.
No, it's not on Invisible Hand.
Oh, so interesting. Well, some new tech for you guys then.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's good to know. I'm just curious, like, where the build came from, because I always build stuff on my own. I don't really like look at other people's decks. So like, don't listen to me unless I win something. But so I was just curious to see what because you're right, Boba Data Vault. I mean, 2 PQs out of all the ones that have happened, this is pretty good. Which, by the way, real quick meta update in terms of the limited side. If you want to win limited, Mother Talzin Command or Obi-Wan Blue is like the way is the way to go. If you have those cards, like you'll probably win.
on the upswing is what you're telling me.
Yeah, for limited PQs.
Snoke is actually sneaky in draft. Like if people don't like hate draft you with Snoke, you can usually do pretty well.
Yeah. Sorry to cut off the Boba Data Vault talk, but I was like, you know what? That's not the only PQs anymore.
More.
It's not the only constructed. Yeah, it's not the only format out there. There's a limited.
They said if you want to be Galactic Champion, you have to play a sealed event.
They did? I don't remember that.
That's what I thought they said. So
interesting.
Well, you don't know what they're going to do.
Is there going to be like a round of sealed play?
I don't know. Like, that's what I'm curious about too. We got to find out more information. And if I'm not talking out of my backside, but
I mean, so I wouldn't be surprised if to be the champion, you have to be good at everything, kind of deal. You know what I mean? Like you're not just like one trick pony. You actually have to like stretch your brain a little bit. So I would not be surprised. And that way, Boba Data Vault may get you the top 64, but. Ooh. Talzin is going to get you to top 8.
look, Talzin with like, protect the pod, that combo, I got hit by that combo.
Dude, protect the
a couple of sealed. Protect the pod with it, because you flip her on 5, that comes out on 4, and she's got a 7 butt. You're just like, yeah, cool, I'll just blow anything up off the board.
Protect the pod really is good. Such a good removal card. There's not many removal in limited, right?
Yeah, there really isn't.
So what, Crushing Blow is a 3 cost that gets rid of 2 cost units. So
they get rid of a 2 cost. Like it's so
Shatterpoint, like, you kind of need the
Shatterpoint is there, and it's the other one is what do you call it? The
Tale of Dark
Plagueis. The Tale of Dark Plagueis, the Wise. That one is the one that you pick a unit and they pick a unit and you kill them and
power.
Yeah, craving
power is I mean, but that's the other green one. It's but again, it's direct damage. But like straight removal is just Tale of Darth Plagueis, Shatterpoint, and then also It's Worse on 7.
It's Worse. Also, always 2 of them, which is like the Sith one.
Always 2 of them just kills your stuff. Doesn't kill their.
Oh,
stuff.
Is that? Oh, I thought it was stuff. Everything.
Yeah, God, I wish it was everything. That card might actually be playable then.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so let's wrap up the beta talk. But go ahead and go on to the main segment because it's related in the
they
sense.
Are related. They so are related. We had so we can jump in there.
So we had a very spirited discussion on our Discord today, and I thought it was a great opportunity to talk about this on the podcast. And it'll probably be controversial, and I'm very. I'm assuming I'm going to be called a really dumb person in some form or fashion after when this drops.
Just don't read the comments. That's the trick.
Yeah, no, I respond. I try to respond to every. I think there's two comments like the entire like history of this podcast that I have not responded to. Like,
it's because they called you stupid and you didn't want to say anything mean.
No, no, I think it was just
you don't have something nice to say. Yeah. Just don't say anything at all.
No, it's more like I didn't know what to say to them in that sense. It's like. Not because they were being rude. No one's been rude to me, so I'm just joking.
It's the internet. Give it time, Gil.
Yeah, yeah. So the topic we want to talk about today is defining a healthy meta. What is a healthy meta? And so the premise here is that like Force Throw is a really important card, in the current meta, and there's an opinion that the meta is not healthy. Right now, and there's opinion that the meta is healthy. But before we get to that, how do we define healthy? Like, how do we define a healthy meta? Do you guys have an opinion on that, or do you want me to give
mine? Yeah, I think, well, my opinion would be a healthy meta is when you have a variety of different like decks, not necessarily the same deck, but a variety of different decks that all have a chance to win. And I do believe right now you have a bunch of different decks. I could probably name 4, 5 maybe that can win PQs right now in this meta. And so if that's what you're saying is the definition, and for me, I think that is, then this is a healthy meta at the moment.
Yeah. And mine's pretty similar to that. I think it stems on variety and viability of multiple decks. Like what you don't want to see is there's,
Django.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Django was the obvious one, but like to bring it back to like Magic or other TCGs, like there are oftentimes two decks, right? There's the deck that's running the meta, and then there is the counter to that deck, and you're running one of those two more often than not. Like you get some people who will make a meta call and do, you know, the off that, you know, kind of dodges the lane in between both of those. But generally speaking, the meta has been kind of 2 to 3 decks at most in Magic. And those are the ones that are viable. And then
go ahead. So I would say, so a healthy meta for both of you guys is that as long as there's a variety of leaders and bases,
I wouldn't even say colors? Just leaders and bases. It's I would call it almost like shells, right? So like because if it's like okay, I'm running the same shell, but I'm running a different leader. You're basically running the same deck, right? But that's not what also don't think that's what
so
we're
let's,
seeing.
Let's
here.
Talk about it. You say shell. So when you say shell, are you talking about a certain number of cards? So like, correct. What is that number? Is there a number? So you say shell.
I'd say it's like, you know, 30-ish of those cards. Around two thirds of a deck is the same.
So what you're saying is that a healthy meta for you is a variety of leaders, bases, and card variety, as long as it's greater than 30 per deck or something like that. Is that what am I saying that right?
Something in that neighborhood.
Yeah. Right. So there's three components for that. Where Corey, you were like, it's as long as there's a variety of possible wins with leaders and bases. Like there's a variety. That's how you would define a healthy meta for Star Wars.
Yeah, I'd say if you build a deck and you feel like this deck has a chance to win a tournament, then I think you're in a healthy meta. And right now, due to like this set being fairly new still, and people kind of just like assuming this is all going to be in one, like one deck is going to win everything, and then realizing maybe we just need to let it simmer a little bit. I think there's a lot more variety and more experimentation happening right now,
yeah,
and that I think is a healthy meta is when that's happening.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, because you have a, you feel like you have a chance to win. If you, whereas in the Django and even the Boba meta, you felt like if you weren't playing them, you didn't really have a chance
to win. Yeah.
So
yeah, I yeah. I
yeah. So let's, okay. So I think you guys are pretty close in terms of your definition, right? And well, in terms of leaders and bases, what is, for Star Wars specifically, you know, there's about 16-ish leaders, right,
per set.
Is healthy meta derived, like, does a healthy meta to you mean that, like, leaders from each set, or just if there's 16 different leaders, but they're all from set one, that's still healthy? Like, what is that spread in terms of, like, or does that not even matter? Like, as long as numerically speaking, like, there are, like, 10 different leaders.
For me, I think it's like, I want to build a deck. Do I think I have a chance to win right now with how the meta looks if I want to build a deck? And I think there's a variety of decks that you can build that have a chance to win. So not necessarily, hey, we want to make sure every leader is viable. That's never going to happen because there's different ways to play the game and there's different, you know,
you're never going to make,
they're built for different things.
Yeah.
Never know. Never say never. But like, yeah, there are leaders that I feel like are more geared towards Twin Suns or more geared towards a sealed type of environment, mm-hmm. where there are other leaders that are built for Premier. And so you're never going to have every single leader be viable. Okay. But
so
we do see a variety of them, and some of them have been
so
good the whole time.
For Constructed specifically, and I'm assuming, Rob, you seem like you've been echoing the same sentiment. Like, it's not necessarily a number out there that's going to be the magic number that says this meta is healthy. As long as there's some type of variety, probably greater than 8 or something like that, is probably like what do you mean by healthy. I'm not saying it. I'm just trying to find a number, right? Like,
yeah.
Is 4 healthy? Gotcha. Probably not. 2 healthy? Definitely not.
I'd say
not.
Between 5 and 8.
But like at least 5 to 8 different leaders that can consistently win across the board, regardless of color combination, that means healthy. And ideally, also, you're not using the same set of 30 cards. You actually can have a variety of that as well.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah, because then it's just a shell game at that point. It's just like, I like this leader slightly better.
I think that's fair. So I'm going to take the view of the other side.
Old devil's advocate over there.
Yeah. Well, I don't. I'm not a devil's advocate. I am a seeker of truth. Which, by the way, if you've ever read Secret, that's a secret of power to seek truth, which is a great book series. I don't know if it's a great book series, a secret truth series. Anyway, it's a fantasy novel. It has nothing to do with Star Wars. The other train of thought here is that the meta right now. So, okay, by the way, so you think the definition is, by this definition, that meta is healthy right now.
Right. Yeah. Agreed? I mean, again, I can think of 6 leaders that.
Yeah.
And 3 to 4 of which aren't. Necessarily,
right. Right. And so the other side of that is that there's a contingent of folks that probably don't think that the meta is healthy, and they're, you know, maybe frustrated at this because the view might be that it's even though force throw as a card is declining in usage, it is still probably around 50% of all red decks or 50 whatever. There's probably a high percentage of people that are still using this specific card in their decks, which means that a lot of people are playing red. Large portion of people are playing red force, specifically, and the entire rest of the field has to play around that. So there's essentially one card which is helping, which is dictating how people have to build and play their decks. Right, I think that's the opposing opinion here. It's still very prevalent, it because of that, it's not healthy because you're really just focusing on one mechanic / one card. And if you have to build around one card, then is that really healthy? No, I think the opinion there would be no. What do you guys think about that?
So, what I was going to say is, I think it's healthy that people are experimenting with different decks and trying to figure out how to come up with new ways to beat this specific card, as you're saying. That doesn't necessarily mean it's unfun. Like, healthy doesn't mean it's always fun. It could have a healthy meta because you're getting a variety of different things, but there could be something that's unfun about that because you have to deal with a specific thing. And the problem with force throw is it's an unfun thing that happens to you when it happens to you. Now, when you get to do it to someone else, like, oh, this is the best thing ever. But obviously it's a feel bad moment for you because it's almost always 2-for-1-ing, right? That's if you're not doing a 2-for-1, you're not getting the most value. But at the same time, you're almost always putting yourself in a better position with it for a single cost. And I think that's where the biggest issue comes to play.
Yeah.
Yeah. And look, I'm not going to argue that force throws is strong. I mean, we had a whole conversation about it where it is. It's action compression. It's low cost. There's just a lot of things that are really, really good about it. but there's always going to be a boogeyman. There, like, and it doesn't matter what card game you're playing. There's always going to be cards that are either drastically above curve or even just slightly above curve. And the players who are playing competitively are going to lean into those. Before this, it was Triple Dark Raid. Before that, and Django. Before that, it was, you know, Boba One with yellow, and you know, all the
bounce. Also, keep forgetting about DJ.
Well, and DJ, yeah, Tekken DJ, yeah. Right? Like there will be combinations that are very strong.
So,
and it's not because they're not trying to like balance the game or whatever, but they, you know, Tech DJ is a great example. They didn't foresee that interaction. You know, it's hard to balance a game when you're putting out 250 cards a set, and you know, and that's never, you're going to miss some.
Yeah. So let's talk about this then. So, people constantly had to try to play around Triple Dark Raid and the DJ Tech combo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Constantly. Like, that was like, it was like oppressive, right? And that was a very specific combination of things that had to occur. Triple Dark Raid did one thing very well. Tech DJ specifically did one thing really well. You had to play around it. Now, with Force Throw, it's not as linear, because we could talk about it's a 2-for-1, but it's not, that 2-for-1 is actually on both sides. Like, I could potentially lose two cards to defeat your one card, right? I could just discard your card and not do damage, right? I could do a whole bunch of different things. There's actually a lot more to consider with force throw in this train of thought. Not necessarily my opinion, mm-hmm. but like in this train of thought, there's actually a lot more lines that someone has to play around. And because of that, it kind of adds to the idea that the meta is not healthy, because you are accounting for, instead of one thing, you're accounting for 50 different, like, not 50, let's say 10 different things that could occur. And is that healthy for the meta that every player now has to think about that and play around that and build around that?
I mean, look, I'm like I said, I'm not going to say it's not it's a fun mechanic to play against, but it's, and I'm bad at this game, but there is a level of, look, if you're going to be playing competitively, and I hate to use this because it's a bit of a thing, but it's like, get good. You got it. You have to be able to anticipate your opponent. If your goal as a player is just to take your deck and force it down your opponent's throat and not modify your gameplay, not modify your strategy, you're not going to have success. At least in a competitive environment. If you just want to have fun and throw cards around and do stuff, fine. But like the honest truth of the matter is that there are things that you have to think about. Okay, I'm going into turn two. He's got a force unit on the table. I have initiative. Do I trade into that force unit so I don't have to worry about getting force thrown? Or if I do get force thrown, at least I'm only just losing the card. Okay, that's a possibility. You know, I had an example of this on last night, actually. I was playing against a Hantu green force, and at post sideboard I knew that my opponent had thrown pillages into their decks. I knew it was in there. So I went into, I had him on 24 health, Devastator in hand, and I'm sitting there going like, okay, he's played pillage on me once. I think he's probably only got one more. Do I think he's drawn it? I said, all right, I'm going to gamble here. I don't think he's drawn it, and I'm going to try and win the game right here. Turns out he had it.
So
I had to throw the Devastator. I ended up losing the game because of it.
So what you're saying
but I had to go through those lines, and that was a calculated gamble on my part, but you have to be able to kind of think about that.
So you're saying ban pillage.
But in that regard, it's like, is Pillage any worse than Force Throw? I mean, Force Throw is worse, but I'm saying, you know, like Pillage is also an impactful card that you know, focuses on hand destruction. Now you've got two things that have hand destruction. Like, is it any worse than Quinlan Tarkintown, where you've got Force Throw and Kira and Ahsoka and, you know, Spark of Rebellion.
You're getting the weeds
and
a little bit here.
You're talking
meta. Yeah. Like, is that's the main question, right? Is it health? Is the meta healthy right now? And I think the games are good because I've been playing three different decks recently, and they've all been, I've been pretty successful with all of them. And two of them are not Force Throw decks, and two of them do not use a Force base. One's a 30, one's a 25, and then one is a Force. And all three of them, I feel like I am doing well enough. And I don't necessarily think that I've been, like, one Sabine, let's just be clear. Sabine hasn't changed much.
It hasn't changed your game plan since set two.
Since the beginning, right? And so, like, because once we got Poe and Wrecker, like, all right, we're good. We're set. We know what our game plan is. Doesn't matter if Force Throw is there. Like, we can just keep going and doing the same thing. But yeah, you do need to think about it. But I think even with the force stuff, because you know that it's coming, because you can anticipate, you know they're playing a Force base. They have a red base. They have a red leader. You're probably going to see Force Throw. You can anticipate that pretty easily. And you're gaining 2 points of health on them if they're playing a Force base. So I think it's okay where we are now. And then, you know, a couple months is going to change. So, I think we'll be okay. You know, we're going to see how the next set changes things and where we are with all the experimentation. I think it's fun.
So, I think that those are good points. I think based on the definition that you guys had provided right earlier, your views that the logic I had provided in terms of the counter for it, it doesn't apply because it's just two different definitions, right? That's really what it is. Like, the train of thought there is that I had provided was that if you're trying to play around this one card, is the meta really healthy? Like, there's an opinion there on, like, it's not, but it's misaligned with how you guys define what a healthy meta is. So it's just trying to, it's like measuring you're on two different scales. So you can't really
And it's okay if you don't like the way the game is playing right now, and that's valid. That's not it's not a bad thing. It's not wrong. It's just if you're not having fun, then you're not having fun.
Come and back for plot.
That's totally fine. And I think once Secrets of Power comes out, it's things are going to change again. And
Mando's
going to
be busted.
Plot is going to be very interesting, and Disclose is going to be very interesting to see how that goes. Like, there's going to be so much more mental power needed for this next set that's coming out. That's not necessarily required at the moment.
Yeah.
That's going to be another major factor. And I do think where we are now, just seeing, you know, if it was just all Han and Talzin at the top, like these last few PQs, then maybe we'd have a problem. But since we are getting a variety of different winners, I think we're okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kaz Blue, baby. Kaz Blue.
Yeah. Kaz Blue
is the other one that's really great. Yeah. I mean, seriously.
Okay.
Security Complex, by the way.
Oh, I can believe that with the shield.
It was on Security Complex? I can. Yeah.
I mean, because it does matter. You're going so fast, it doesn't matter. If you don't kill them before they. Like, that extra five health does not matter.
Yeah, that's true. All right, guys.
Throw it on that stolen AT hauler.
So, good luck this weekend in the healthy meta out, playing in the healthy meta out there. At the
Hex and Co.
PQ that you're going to play. I'm sorry that I won't be able to join you guys. I will be traveling, unfortunately. Or fortunately. Mm. Fortunately. I'm spending time with family. I spent a lot of time on SWU and money on SWU. I gotta invest in other things, you know what I'm saying? Personally. Because I'm strapped for cash. No, I'm just kidding. That's the inside joke for the Discord. Okay, so thank you all. Thank you both for joining. This is a illuminating conversation, and I look forward to the comments out there. So if you're listening and you made it to the end, please tell us your opinion.
I mean, what an idiot I am.
What a healthy meta.
I do want to shout out Hidden Ninja is the guy that ran that deck, Kaz Blue, that I was looking at. So just want to shout him out, too, if he listens. I don't know if he listens, but
I mean, we'll see.
That's where I found the deck.
At him. somewhere.
Yep.
Find him and have him join the group. Remember to like, subscribe, tell your friends, and until next time, may the force be with you.